Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're meeting with the co-founder of FranSmart, Dan Rowe. And for half a decade, the FranSmart brand has stood as a symbol for quality, innovation, and success. Franchisers as well as franchisees continually turn to FranSmart to aid with their franchising decisions and investments. FranSmart have helped their portfolio members sell thousands of franchises to high-quality franchisees, secure better locations, enhance unit economics, and elevate brand awareness to the masses. Some of their opportunities for FranSmart, they work with Chicken Dijon Franchise Opportunity, CityWalk Franchise Opportunity, Elevation Burger, Firkin Group of Pubs, Marvelous Market, Mr. Greek, Prime Pubs, Rock and Baja Lobster, Sandella's, Fappiano, and Z Pizza. And our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. We also have a new franchise book section. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear new interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio. How's your week going, my friend?
Great. Doing well, Marty. How about yourself?
Good, good. As you know, I just got back from Miami. We took off last week, so it's always, you know, tough getting back and catching up with everything, you know. But I tell you, Miami is a beautiful place, Don. You know, we should, consider moving our offices down there.
That's where our headquarters should be. Good idea.
Exactly.
Great weather. I'm going down to Florida this week, and I'll be down in Orlando.
That's right, yeah.
For a franchise show, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's
a
big
further
one,
north,
too,
though, in Orlando. Not quite as south as you were down there.
Yeah, yeah. The weather was really great down there, Don. You know, I mean, we were right by, the water, and it was just a great location to be, you know. But I understand that Miami is pretty hot during the summer as well. You know, it's pretty brutal down there.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a great time of year to be down there now, but as well as Orlando, you know. So,
How about
also,
those Giants, huh? Super Bowl champs.
Congratulations, my friend. I can't believe it. Was that one of the best Super Bowls you've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, that's all, you know, you want, of course, for it to be an exciting game coming down to the end. But when your own team is in it,
exactly,
your own team that, you know, no way during the year do you expect your team would even make it far into the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. And then for them to win it,
right,
get the team undefeated, yeah, it was certainly, and we had some friends over. So, yeah, it was a great time and a great game.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I plan on getting down to one of your Super Bowl parties one year. You know, it's just with the baby so small.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he would have enjoyed it, you know.
Well, he would have fit right in. We had about 15 kids there.
That's right, you mentioned that, yeah. I can't imagine what your house looked like after, after it was over.
We're still cleaning up, yeah.
Our last show, Don, we met with Julie Bennett, author of the Franchise Times Guide to Selecting, Buying, and Owning a Franchise. And Julie is a regular contributor to our favorite magazine, Franchise Times, and her articles appeared in the Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, and also the Hispanic Journal. I thought it was a great show. What were your thoughts on last week?
I'm very impressed with the book. For someone who's listening to last week's show, considering a franchise investment, I mean, what more can you ask for with someone who wrote a book like this, has so much franchise experience, very detailed book, and you know, I like her sections in the book, her report from the trenches pages.
That's great, isn't it?
Interview specific franchisees and ask them a few questions. Very interesting. And it was even interesting to see that my company, Diamond Financial Services, was in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Partner,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, my partner quoted in there, discussing financing.
That's fantastic. I thought that was great, you know, and I discovered that actually on the day of the show as I was getting three quarters through the book, you know, and I said,
right,
oh, there's Steve's name and Diamond Financial. I said, I know those guys, you know, so
yeah.
It's a nice testimonial to be quoted in a book like that because I think that this is going to be one of those, must reads as far as for anyone looking to buy a franchise. I know you and I are definitely going to recommend the book to people, you know.
Of course, both of us have already been doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Julie had some great advice, Don. You know, she wasn't a big believer, I don't know if you recall, in buying, multi-unit franchises?
Right.
You know, we've had different, theories and opinions on the show. And that's the great thing about our show is, you know, we get different points of view from different people, you know. And I thought what she said made a lot of sense. You know, she says, you know what, before you end up buying 3 or 4 units of a particular franchise, why don't you, you know, buy one, see if you like it first, you know, and then from there, you know, if you say, this is what I want to do, this thing is making money, I enjoy working the business, then consider buying some more, you know. So I thought that was a pretty interesting point.
Yeah, I can certainly see her point.
Right.
You want to make sure you're comfortable and happy before expansion, as long as at a later time you do have that ability for expansion. I think people sometimes are a little nervous.
I agree.
Other territory might be bought up and their expansion would be limited if they don't sign up early for it. So it all depends on yourself and that franchise.
It does.
And, yeah.
Absolutely. My favorite quote from the show a couple weeks, Don, was when Julie, she referred to, I don't know if you remember this, Becky Korjon of Express Personnel. I just thought that this was the greatest quote on franchising. It says, and this is from Becky, by the way, it says, if the procedures manual said to write all reports with my left hand in red ink on Monday through Wednesday and with my right hand in black ink on Thursday and Friday, I do it. And I just thought that that was such a great quote on what franchising actually is. You know, I mean, Becky is someone who truly understands franchising. She follows the system. She is someone who trusts the system.
Right.
She knows not to reinvent the wheel, you know. And if you do these things, if you just follow the system, you'll be successful. You know, and that's why, you know, a lot of times you and I say that, you know, franchising really isn't for everyone because some people are just so entrepreneurial in nature that they just want to reinvent the wheel, you know.
Right.
So,
good point about just do what they say. I would kind of personally draw the line myself if I had to use red pen left-handed.
Exactly. I think I would too, you know. I mean, that's somebody who, again, truly trusts the system, you know. And so I think that's a quote. You know, there's a lot of quotes in the book that, you know, I want to, you know, reference in future shows.
Right.
You know, she also mentioned the whole due diligence process. You know, she recommended calling, I think it was at least, was it 60 franchisees? Before you go making a decision
right. On
a particular, I mean, it goes to show you, I mean, how much work is actually involved in this whole due diligence.
You almost have to take on a job in order to, you know, choose what your job or franchise is going to be. But
exactly.
It will all be worth it in the long run. The more you do early on, you know, the
right.
better off you'll be.
It's so true, absolutely. You know, but again, the book is called The Franchise Times Guide to Selecting, Buying, and Owning a Franchise. And you can actually go to franchiseinterviews.com. And we have a franchise book section where you can actually just click a picture of the book and just order it right there online. So great job, Julie. We're going to have to, I think, have her back on a future show. She's going to be at I don't know if she's going to be down in Orlando, Don. You might run into her down there.
She said she was possibly. I think she said she might be at the franchise show coming a few months in April at the IFE.
In Washington, right? Yeah. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take my book and have her autograph a copy for me, you know, because I said she forgot to autograph it, you know. So, but just great guest overall. I thought she did an excellent job. So what do we have going on today, Don?
Today we're going to be meeting with co-founder of FranSmart. His name is Dan Rowe.
Great.
So we're very excited about today's show. For half a decade, the FranSmart brand has stood as a symbol for quality, innovation, and success. Franchisors, as well as franchisees, continually turn to FranSmart to aid with their franchising decisions and investments. They got a lot of great concepts and franchises, so we'll be talking
There's
to Dan about
some interesting concepts. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing from Dan about, you know, some of these different concepts that they have. You know, so that's terrific.
Then in a few weeks, I guess we have another show.
We do, yeah. We have on February 21st, we're meeting with, and forgive me for pronouncing this wrong, Gary Ochigroso, did I say that right? Of the Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill Franchise Opportunity. And Desert Moon is the East Coast original fresh Mexican grill franchise. Desert Moon is the fresh, healthful alternative to fast food since 1992, so they've been around for a while.
Right.
It says it's all about the food, fresh ingredients, big flavor, made to order. Zero trans fat, high fiber, low fat, with gluten-free and key organic items. You know, those are becoming power words, you know, like when you go to the supermarket, Don, you know, it's
right.
gluten-free and organic. And
right.
So their modified table service is set in a fun, fast, casual environment that separates them from the competition, the most innovative approach and highest quality in fast casual today. So that's interesting. Sounds like an interesting concept. They're up in the Northeast, by the way. I know you have some in Jersey, there's some in New York, Connecticut, and we actually have one here in Exton, Pennsylvania. You know, so
how far is that from you?
It's about, I would say it's about 35, 40 minutes from where I'm located. It's in the same area code, actually. So
yeah, got to try it out one
night. Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's always the fun thing is you know, as we learn about a lot of these great franchise concepts, you know, is when you get to try them out, you know. And
right.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Also, you know, a big announcement, our friend Michael Gerber just finished his book. I don't know if you remember, last time we had Michael on the show, who is a legend, really, in entrepreneurship, and I would include franchising in the batch.
Right.
He was working on a book when we last spoke to him, and he had this adventure in the dreaming room. But he just finished the book, Don. It's called Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, How Ordinary People Create Extraordinary Companies Without Any Experience to Guide Them. Michael is coming on the show. He just finished the book, and I think the book is being distributed, I think it's early March, actually. So I'm hoping we can get a copy of the book. And, you know, Michael contacted us, and, you know, he's coming back on the show. So that's fantastic. You know?
Of course, remind him to autograph that.
Yes, he's going to have to autograph this one. You know, it's going to be worth a lot more money if I have him autograph it. So.
Well, I'm real excited about that. Like you said, he's a legend, and first time we had him on was just incredible. So many people have listened to that show. So
yeah, it was.
Sure,
I guess
more great things to say.
Yeah, it certainly. I guess to say it was certainly one of our biggest shows that we've done. You know,
right.
You know, since having the radio show, and it's great to have him back. This will be the third time I actually get to speak with Michael, and he's someone that, you know, I really admire. You know, I hope you know, when I'm his age, that I still have the same energy and
right.
enthusiasm and vigor for life. You know, and
I'm reading his book again right now, The E-Myth. E-Myth Revisited, which is one
well,
of the top books of all, you know, top business books, top-rated books. As
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Don, because, you know, I mean, I think the reason that The E-Myth was so successful, it's one of those timeless books, you know? So it's a book that you can actually read, you know, in 20 years or 30 years, you know?
Right.
It's that type of book. So, I mean, that's why the book has sold over... It's over 2 million copies at this point, you know, and I suspect that this one is going to be another big one for Michael, you know. So he just keeps going
right.
on and on. So
yeah.
Kind of reminds me a little of George Native, you know. It's got that energy for life, you know, and that vigor for life,
right.
you know. We had George on the show, so
just saw on the internet they're going to be having some nice expansion plans. Speaking of George Native and his You Food Grill franchise, they're going to be really expanding in Chicago areas.
Oh, really?
We'll talk a little bit about that our next show.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something.
I think they have about 5 restaurants planned.
That's great. He's something else, you know. So we'll have to have him back on the show as well, you know. So it's just it's just been incredible, you know, the guests that we've had on the show up to this point, you know, including Dan today of FranSmart, you know, is a very big and successful company, you know. So somebody I've always wanted to have on the show, you know, here a year and a half later, you know, we finally... you know, get to speak to them, so that's exciting.
Right. Yeah.
I know there's some interesting news that you had going on.
Yeah, first I want to talk a little bit about, we just talked about our guest recently, Julie Bennett, wrote the Franchise Times Guide to Selecting, Buying, and Owning a Franchise. She had this one section, Ask the Professor.
Mm-hmm. That's a great section, isn't it?
Yeah, and it talks about how has franchising changed since you first became involved.
Right.
And I think this is pretty interesting. She says here, there seems to be more thought put into training franchisees and executives in franchise systems today. The IFA's Institute for Certified Executives awards certified franchise executives credits to people who complete approved courses from a variety of course providers, including the International Institute for Franchise Education. There are also programs offered through the Diversity Institute, the Women's Franchise Committee, Women's Franchise Networks, IFA's Franchise Business Network, and Franchise Times Franchise Finance and Development Conference, and Restaurant Finance and Development Conference.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's a lot more training, just a lot more. Well, I guess in this section you can actually get credits for being certified in, you know, some of these different.
That's correct, yeah.
Programs offer. So that's something that she's seen, a big change in franchising over the past couple of decades. Next one, Marty, franchising has evolved to keep up with technological advances and changing demographics. Franchisees today are more sophisticated than they were 20 years ago, and there are fewer mom-and-pop franchisees. A franchising trend that will continue into the foreseeable future is the growth of multi-unit and multi-brand ownership.
Right.
There are an ever-increasing number of franchisees who own more than one unit and even more than one brand, which is interesting. People
that
sometimes will own a couple different franchises. The third is many U.S. companies have begun to look elsewhere for locations to sustain their company's growth. As the traditional domestic market is rapidly reaching the saturation point for mature franchise systems.
Right.
In the last 10 years, a number of franchisors have taken their concepts into foreign countries. Additionally, I've seen more and more global concepts entering the lucrative U.S. marketplace. She says she remembers making a presentation in Paris in the spring of 89. At that time, she can only name a handful of international concepts that were operating here in the U.S. and were successful. Now there's a bunch more coming in.
Do you remember last week, Don? She mentioned, or it was a couple of weeks ago, I keep saying last week, but the one from Spain, was it on porta potties or something? Like upscale porta potty franchise. You know, just so many interesting concepts. You know, again, a foreign franchise coming into the U.S. market, you know, but that's pretty interesting. You know, I'd like to have those guys on the show and see what they say, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
How's your Spanish? Is it good?
Not good, but with my twins, and we're always out a lot, I'd love to have a couple porta potties always nearby.
There you go.
All right, the fourth thing, in the previous chapter we discussed, she says here, the increase in the number of opportunities for women and minorities in franchising. Even though women and minorities make up only a small percentage of franchisees today, the number has been increasing steadily since she's been involved in franchising. Many people believe that the underserved minority population resents the future of franchising.
I agree.
So it's interesting about a few changes that have taken place in franchising, the biggest changes she feels. Moving on, Marty, I guess our friends at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, they're also known as National Event Management, they have a couple franchise shows coming up in Phoenix, February 16th and 17th.
Oh, good.
And then Denver's having a show soon after that, March 1st and 2nd.
Great.
Anybody who wants to find out information can go to usfranchiseexpos.com, just usfranchiseexpos.com.
Okay.
Their toll-free number is 800-891-4859.
Good.
Also something here, Marty, by Leon Stafford, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, headline, The Great American Cookie Company has been sold.
Oh, really?
And I think that's interesting because of the company who bought them. It says here, the owner of clothier Bill Blass, ice cream chain Marble Slab Creamery, and shoemaker The Athlete's Foot has bought Atlanta-based Great American Cookie Company. Nexen Brands, which is headquartered in New York but operates out of Atlanta, bought Great American Cookie from Mrs. Field's Famous Brands for over $93 million, Nexen said Tuesday. Robert DeLauren, president and chief executive of Nexen, said Great American Cookie is a strong brand with an opportunity to grow. It was really underdeveloped. In our view, he said, I believe it was treated as a stepchild.
Really?
It's interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
The company was founded in 77 by local entrepreneur Michael Coles. He founded Great American Cookie, who later made an unsuccessful bid for one of the Georgia's U.S. Senate seats. Coles most recently was chairman and chief executive of Caribou Coffee before stepping down last November.
Right.
And Great American had sales of over $26 million, operating income $13 million. They have about 300 locations, mostly throughout the U.S. So this company, Nexen Brands, is really growing with what they own now. They also own Maggie Moo's. They just bought a couple pretzel chains, Pretzel Time and Pretzel Maker.
Wow.
And, you know, hopefully we'll have them on the show.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I definitely plan on getting them on the show, Don, in the next month or so, absolutely.
I mean, they're becoming a force in the industry. I think they bought all these brands up all within the last year.
I think they recently, didn't they have an article on them? Was it in Franchise Times magazine? I recall reading something about them recently, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was on the cover.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Also, Marty, here's something here from U.S. News and World Report. What you must know about franchising. Are you ready for franchise ownership? Our expert gives you an inside look, dated January 22nd. It says, maybe you thought it would be fun to own a business where you're building a household name empire, running a restaurant, or dealing with the latest developments in technology. But what is it really like to buy a big-name franchise, a restaurant franchise, or a tech franchise? We asked franchise consultant Jeff Elgin, who we've quoted before in different things that he's written, to reveal exactly what you need to know about buying a big-name franchise. It says, Marty, most people equate franchising with big-time mega systems.
Right.
The large fast food franchise like McDonald's or Subway, hotel operators like Hilton, or other business format franchises like 7-Eleven or ServiceMaster. These systems are big, really big, and they have advantages and disadvantages as franchise opportunities. When you buy a franchise, you hope to receive at least two things. A valuable brand and a proven operating system is one. The primary advantage of big franchise companies is that both of these are basically set in place. You can reach customer awareness and attitudes about the brand simply by asking around, and you can determine the franchise's track record pretty easily by visiting its numerous franchisees who have been operating for a long time. The second advantage is that large franchise systems can offer you safety and dependability. The risk of starting in a big franchise system is usually lower, so lower risk with a big-time franchise because all the kinks in it, the system, have long since been worked out.
Right.
This doesn't mean you are guaranteed to succeed, but there's more certainty due to the wealth of information available about the current system and its operators. It says here, mega franchise systems can have disadvantages too. Many large systems have already built so many units that getting approved to open a new unit as a new franchisee can be difficult. These systems tend to favor successful current operators for new unit expansion opportunities because this approach is less risky than taking a chance on a new unproven operator.
Interesting.
It says often you can enter a large system as a new franchisee by purchasing one or more existing units. This can actually be an advantage since it allows you to review the operational and financial performance of the unit or units before you decide to buy them. Buying an existing business with profitable operations can be a major advantage over building a new business from scratch since you avoid the losses associated with the initial startup process. As long as you make sure you're getting a good unit and not buying someone else's troubles, it can be a great opportunity.
That's interesting.
And then moving on, it says another advantage of big systems is that the professionalism and expertise of the support staff, the supply chain, and virtually every other system component is often far greater than what you can reasonably expect to find in a smaller, newer franchise system. This should allow you to avoid mistakes and potentially realize comparatively lower operating costs.
True.
One possible disadvantage is that the larger a franchise system becomes, the more rules it has governing the conduct of existing franchisees. A large franchise system has determined and documented exactly how it wants the business to be run in every respect, from layout to operations to marketing. It's not looking for innovators to reinvent the wheel. It's looking for operators to execute its proven systems.
And the wait time, too, is, Don, as you were saying, I understand that, I don't know if this is true or not. When you buy a McDonald's franchise, I think the waiting list I've heard is, I think it's like 3 years, and you don't get to pick a location either. So if they tell you, okay, we have one open in Alaska, that's where you're going. So that's something that you have to consider too.
Right.
Absolutely.
What else does it say here? It says the really big franchise systems receive thousands of inquiries from prospective franchisees every month, and they don't have room to accommodate most of them. You may need to communicate your qualifications more aggressively to get a big franchisor's attention and for it to consider you as a potential franchisee. Whatever the challenges, the prize may be well worth going through the process. Every franchise is seeking franchisees with the talent and capital to make their business a success. Whether big or small, most franchise companies care deeply about the success of all their franchisees. You can find just as much heart in a big company as in a smaller one. Take the time to look into a number of alternatives when you're contemplating franchise opportunities of any size, and you're sure to find the right one to maximize your chances for success. So,
right.
Whether it's large or small, there's going to be pros and cons. And
oh, absolutely.
I personally, I'm kind of mixed on it. There's so many good, solid, young concepts that have some years behind them where there's
right.
a lot more room for expansion and maybe part of a smaller system.
Sure.
It depends on what you're looking for, but this was pretty interesting, again, written by Jeff Elgin.
A lot of the success stories we've had on the show, too, we've referenced people like, Dave Thomas or one of the first franchisees to McDonald's, the guy who created the, I think it was the Filet-O-Fish, actually,
Right.
I think they realized the potential, of that kind of business, so... Yeah, sometimes you can get in early. I'm not sure what the investment was for McDonald's way back when, But,
right.
Today you're talking a significant amount,
That's always a big thing. One quote there is about reinventing the wheel.
Right.
How many times have we read that or heard someone say that?
It's so true.
Since we've started the show.
Absolutely. You know, it's really one of the most important elements of franchising. So why don't we take a moment, Don, to hear from some great services in franchising, starting with Franchise Interviews, which gives an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear new interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys, and our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And as I mentioned earlier, also check out our new franchise book section on franchiseinterviews.com as well. So great source for franchising.
Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, FranchiseFunding.net, America's leading franchise financing source, stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your loan application to securing a financial commitment, and through the closing process, FranchiseFunding.net is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a completely confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Once you're on FranchiseFunding.net, you can simply hit the Get Pre-Qualified tab and learn your loan potential. There's no cost for it. Realize the dream of financial independence with the premier franchise resource. So that's FranchiseFunding.net. The number is 877-508-2274 for those people listening who, of course, just want to get an idea of what size loan they might be able to get for any franchise investment they're looking for. It's
Absolutely.
Website.
It's a great service, important service as well. You know, well, today, Don, we have a great show. As I was mentioning earlier, we're meeting with the co-founder of FranSmart, Dan Rowe, and for half a decade, the FranSmart brand has stood as a symbol for quality, innovation, and success. Franchisors as well as franchisees continually turn to FranSmart to aid with their franchising decisions and investments. They've developed their portfolio members. Their portfolio members sell thousands of franchises to high-quality franchisees, secured better locations, which is so important, enhance unit economics, and elevate brand awareness to the masses. Hey, Dan, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Dan, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know you wanted to say hi to Dan. Don.
Yeah, hi, Dan. We've spoken before. We appreciate you coming on the show. It must be very exciting, all these, you know, different food concepts you have. I mean, how do you find time to work all these?
Oh, we manage. It's exciting, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've been following you for a while, Dan, and you can see the growth of FranSmart. You know, it's fantastic. We've wanted to have you guys on the show for a while now, so it's great you're here today.
Well, thank you.
Dan, we always like to start off by asking our guests where you're calling from today.
Alexander, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C.
That's a nice location, and that's where your headquarters, I guess, is located, too?
Yep.
That's great. And Dan, what were you doing before starting FranSmart? I did a little research on you, and I found out that it sounds like you were in the computer software business.
Out of college, I spent a little bit of time in the software business. But before I started FranSmart, you know, FranSmart's really a portfolio of emerging brands.
Mm-hmm.
Before FranSmart, we were just growing one brand at a time. And, like, for example, we grew a company called Qdoba, Mexican grill out of Denver. We grew it from one store to about 100 stores in a couple of years before Jack in the Box bought it.
Right.
Yeah, so we did that, and then we formed FranSmart.
That's interesting. And that was when it was located, well, I was reading about you, Dan. It was across from, was it Chipotle or something like that, the location?
Yeah, I was actually a franchisee of a concept of a bagel bakery that was across the street from the original Chipotle.
Oh, that's right. Okay, there you go. That's interesting.
So that's what got your start in franchising, Dan, kind of.
Yeah, I started off
bagel franchise.
Yeah, I started off as a franchisee, and then you know, sort of learned the business, and then really helped Qdoba grow. And we invested in a company called Z Pizza at the same time. It just had four stores. They're up close to 100 now. And
that's great.
Yeah.
I knew of Z Pizza as far back as, I mean, at least 3-4 years ago. I think
right.
I might have financed one of the first locations, and then I didn't hear from them. I was wondering what the heck happened to them. And here they are.
Yeah, 100 units coast to coast. We've had 4 years in a row of double-digit same-store sales growth, so we're just focusing in on fundamentals. But we have 100 open and another 300 or 400 of them in development. We're expanding now into Mexico and Middle East and, you know, all across the country. It's great.
So first starting FranSmart, I guess you looked at, I mean, was your long-term goal to have a bunch of brands in your portfolio, or was it let's handle one at a time? I mean, what was the early thought process once you started up FranceSmart?
No, back when we were growing Qdoba and Z Pizza, the thing that that you are faced with is a small company only has so many resources, and it only has so much money, and it only has so many hours in the day, and an emerging brand needs resources and needs bandwidth. And so we came up with the idea of, hey, let's grow a whole portfolio of emerging brands and share a higher level of resources across the whole portfolio. So we,
right.
Our real estate, our ability to control project costs, our ability to control food and paper costs, a really high-quality marketing, not just sort of cheap coupon marketing, but really doing proper research-based marketing.
Right.
Across the board, just a much higher level of services across our brands. And that was really kind of the focus of FranceSmart. Is like, we thought we could take, an early-stage chain like a Z Pizza, if we give it the kind of resources that it would have when it was already 100 units, but if we gave it to it when it only had 10 units, we were going to make it a more competitive franchise, and we feel like we have.
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting. And, for people listening, just to keep it simple, they might not realize what FranceSmart's all about. I mean, obviously, you're, in effect, the sales department, the franchisors decide that they want to outsource it, to have a company like yours, that this is your specialty and niche, and you'll handle all the, from A to Z, everything involved with trying to add more franchisees, to that franchise system. And you have your ways of going about trying to find investors throughout the country. So the initial contact with the potential investors going through FranceSmart, not directly through the company.
Yeah, it's much more than just brokers, though. Brokers just kind of are more into selling franchises. We actually go in and we invest in the brand. We make them better. We improve the unit economics, and then we help set up the strategic marketing plan. We do all the franchise marketing and sales, and then we help franchisees with their financing, with their business planning, with their real estate, helping them find the right employees so that they have all the right people in the right places. But FranceSmart specializes in selling large multi-unit deals, and so we really work with our franchisees in a bigger picture, and it's a really nice resource for an emerging chain to have. It's just stuff that they normally wouldn't have in house. They're busy. Like, we helped grow a company called Five Guys Burgers, and it's a huge success. But at the time, it was just mom, dad, five sons, and five restaurants. And so,
right.
We literally helped them recreate. I was one of the first franchisees. We helped raise sales the first year almost 10%. And now that chain has 200 plus restaurants, and you just can't do it if you're just not focusing on making
right.
the concept stronger in the first place.
Absolutely.
So Dan, is this something yourself? I mean, is this? It sounds like the special talent you have to see that there's a certain company that has just strong franchise potential. Maybe in this specific success they've had. I mean, is that something you outsource to have a company do a whole review of a franchise to see if it could be success? Is it a combination of that and just your own instinct on trying to build out that concept?
Yeah, it's about half and half. We use a lot of good third-party resources to make sure that we're not just snowing ourselves.
Right.
And so, we have different resources that we send into brands to kind of help us figure out what the real potential is, what the market potential is, and what the competitive advantages or disadvantages are. And then we kind of come up with the brand's action plan from day one and make sure that the brands are committed to investing properly along the way to being successful and to being meaningfully successful.
Right. Interesting. Maybe talk about a little bit, listen, describe some of the portfolio of franchises in the FranceSmart system, Dan.
We have, we focus on brands that we think can grow to sort of 1,000-plus units. We don't really want niche brands or brands that you can only grow a few of or only applicable in a certain region.
Right.
So we've really gone after some already popular areas with just, we feel is just a little bit better concept. We have Z Pizza, we have Sandella's Flatbread, we have Firkin English Pubs, we have Prime Irish Pubs, Elevation Burger, which is an organic, natural, kind of the high-end burger. We also work with Boardwalk, which is the Boardwalk Fries is launching a burger concept. We're working with those guys. We work with Vapiano, which is it's kind of the hottest brand in Europe right now that's starting to expand to the U.S. But Vapiano is a large Italian fast casual. Work with Chicken Dijon, City Walk Chinese, Mr. Greek, and we actually just signed up yesterday a new company called Sonoma Chicken Coop. It's probably the highest volume fast casual restaurant that I've ever seen, but it averaged about $5 million out of, you know, sort of 5 to 8,000 feet. Big fast casual restaurants.
Yeah,
wow.
Strong portfolio, Dan. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So there's growth as we speak here, and also Rock and Baja Lobster.
Yeah, Rock and Baja Lobster, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
Nice diversified list of food companies here.
Yeah, we've got a fast food, fast casual, and niche casual dining.
That's great.
Yeah.
How big is the industry for some of these franchises, Dan? Have any numbers?
I mean, the overall, you know, just to think about a McDonald's, for example, is a $20, $25 billion company. So there's, you know, one concept, you know, even a Subway sandwich has 25,000 units. So
right.
It's really not that much to think that any one chain that's got a good customer proposition is going to get to 1,000 or more units. So, and it does, depending on your unit volume, that could be a half a billion to a couple billion dollars.
Right, absolutely.
That's the overall goal, Dan. You want each of these to get to up to that 1,000 range approximately.
Exactly. Yeah, that's our target for every one of these that we start off with has got to be able to grow to, you know, to a large number. So to give you an example also, like TGI Fridays has 1,000 units. You know, Chili's, I think, has 1,400 or 1,500 units.
Right.
You know, so it's just not that hard. And Quiznos has 7,000 or 8,000 units.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you, Dan, since starting FranSmart?
I guess just watching the whole world grow. The United States is, I mean, the U.S. has just become more and more and more entrepreneurial. The whole world's growing more and more entrepreneurially, and it's just fun to watch that. And not just the people buying franchises, but then you create this whole entire world of suppliers.
Right.
And everybody's in the same boat, you know, that kind of rely on each other's success, and it's been great to watch. A couple other things I find interesting is that the whole world just seems to be trading up to a more premium experience.
Mm.
So, you know, you see that in Starbucks, you see it in Panera Bread, you see it in Chipotle and Qdoba and Five Guys Burgers and that kind of stuff. You know, the whole world's trading for a more premium experience, and that's been very great. It's been great for the operators because you can charge more for a premium product, and so you wind up having a better economic model. And then I guess the thing that is really exciting me right now is that the real estate, where it's been a landlord's market the last several years, as costs just keep going through the roof, it's been a landlord's market. The last sort of 6 to 8 months, and it's forecasted for the next couple of years, there's, you know, all this debt pressure is creating a lot of pressure on landlords, and it's becoming more of a tenant's market. So I think it's a great time to be expanding right now. We're seeing rents a lot softer. We're seeing a lot more incentives from landlords to get into property with tenant improvement allowance, and you know, I think right now it's just been a great time to be in this space.
Yeah,
I've seen that as well, Dan. Being in financing, of course, a lot of times that's been the hardest part of the process. Is people finding that lease and executing it and finding that location. Sometimes the loan gets delayed for months. But I think you're right to add to that also on the financing end with the prime rate coming down. The rates are very favorable. For franchise investment now too.
Yeah, we insist all of our brands get pre-approved with the SBA, and you know we do everything that we can to help make sure that our brands are very financeable. And it sounds like I should be talking to you about that too.
Yeah, well, I guess we are really. Yeah, I've been very impressed with several, you know, people who work for your company, and yeah, we've handled some loans for some of your franchisees and some of your concepts. So we look forward to further, you know, moving that along. What types of characteristics, Dan, do you look for in a franchisee?
Well, for a franchisee, it's really about passion and commitment to that brand and that brand standards. So whether it's Z Pizza or a burger, you know, Elevation Burger or a pub or whatever, you know, each brand has its own set of, you know, franchising is really just a set of systems for how you ensure some predictability for running that brand. And you want franchisees that are kind of focused on that and not franchisees that are going to be renegades. You know, we like franchisees that want to build multi-unit businesses, want to become wealthy by having a multi-unit restaurant company rather than just buying themselves a job.
Right.
And so that's sort of what we're looking for.
Not really looking specifically for people with food experience.
Absolutely not. Yeah, it's not a requirement anymore. There's too many good vendors and too many good. There's such a good employment base out there. There's too many people that, that are going to have more experience, you know, than's required.
And you know, in this type of business, Marty, you know, we've interviewed a lot of people. This is certainly a type of business you got to really be a people person, and you know, be out there and be meeting and greeting people and so forth. I guess you look for a franchisee to have a certain type of personality too, somewhat outgoing, which is sometimes tough to read at first. But I guess you have to, you know, really sense that you know, someone is that type of person, because isn't that very key in in the food business, Dan?
For sure. We actually test franchisees. So we use a product called Predictive Index, and we test all franchisees for their personality to make sure that that's the franchisee has kind of got the right, you know, they've got their head in the right place.
Right, right. That's something.
And I guess for those people who lack the food experience, that's where your training program comes in. And maybe tell us about that. I'm sure you have a pretty pretty big training regimen for your franchisees.
We do. I mean, for us, you know, training is like bathing. You've got to do it all the time, or you're going to start stinking. And you know that a business is going to cycle, you know, it's a high turnover industry. So for us, we don't just train our franchisees coming into, you know, like Firk and Pub, for example. We don't just train them how to pour beer and make a burger. We actually teach them how to teach other people how to do it, and why it's important, and what our standards are, and how we measure. And so, you know, you want to really make sure that that franchisee over the next 10 years can create and foster a whole environment of being able to train people to those standards. So it's super, it's really, really, really important.
So I guess it's really full, you know, full training, just not with the concept, but business in general. What percentage of your franchisees are first-time business owners? And if they are, I guess that's a whole other part of training you have to deal with.
Probably half. Probably half of our franchisees are new to being in the business. But we have manuals and systems and policies and procedures. FranSmart has a tool called Autopilot that really walks every franchisee from the day they sign up to a brand and to the day they're open. Everything's laid out in front of them. So we make it a lot easier. We assume that no one has any experience. We make it really, really comprehensive and easy to go through the system, but of getting their business open. But the training part is, you know, we teach all the micro-level stuff, like the physical tasks of running the business. But the real important part, too, is to train it long enough where they really get it and they really understand it to a point where they can teach other people how to do it and hold standards.
And I guess the whole you know, the big highlight and climax is all building up to that grand opening. I guess that's really exciting for a lot of your franchisees.
It's everything, yeah.
It sounds like, Dan, too, is I guess most of these, the franchises that you work with, they have, I guess we say, real estate experts working with them or for them. Actually, because, I mean, in your business, it's just location is just so important. I recall in an article I think I was reading from you, you said great sites don't need as much marketing attention, you know, which I totally agree with. Is that true that you have experts you work with, I guess?
We do. I mean, we at FranSmart, our head of real estate used to be the head of real estate for In-N-Out Burger and Red Robin and Taco Bell. So we've got this great, great, great industry, you know, expert who mentors all of our, our brands into really understanding the model for the right kind of location. And then we have a network around the country of brokers in every market that, that just know their market. They know what's going on. And and because we have restaurants in a lot of markets around the country, we also get kind of the operator's perspective. So there's a tremendous amount we do on the real estate front.
That's great. It's so important. Yeah, absolutely.
Dan, is FranSmart in every state in the country?
I don't think we're in every state, but we're pretty close. We've got.
Wow.
I mean, we're opening 10 restaurants a month across the portfolio somewhere. So.
And getting back to Marty's point, because I mean, it's so important. You know, of course, the restaurant business, that premium location. Sometimes will you not really overpay, but you pay that little extra to get that premium location? Is that just so key compared to maybe something that's still a good location, but not that A rated? How do you handle that situation?
Yeah, I always pay for the better site. So, I mean, there's an old saying that you really only pay for bad real estate. That the good real estate pays you.
It's a great quote.
Yeah, I think you always want to get the better site. Over the long haul, you're just going to make more. Your higher sales, higher profit over 10 years. If you ever go to sell your business, it's going to be based on that higher EBITDA number, and it's just so worth it. I mean, we actually have a line in our UFOC agreement for all of our franchisees as they're going through the process. We tell them that one of your startup costs is sort of an ancillary real estate cost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not above bribing local brokers to get more of their attention to get into the right locations or to create, like if we have a small concept like Z Pizza, small concept just doesn't pay a broker that much commission. It's nothing for us to offer another $10,000 to someone who's going to get me in a site that makes an extra 40 or 50 grand a year profit. You know,
that's
it's
so
just the cheapest investment you can make.
Absolutely. What's a typical day like, Dan, for your franchisees? Again, you're dealing with so many different concepts, but is there such a thing as a typical day?
Yeah, it depends on the franchisee and the brand and where they are in their process, but we work with multi-unit people that are trying to build multi-unit restaurant companies.
Right.
And so half of their day is spent on the micro-level details of running the business, and the other half is spent on the macro, which is finding new locations, getting capital, doing marketing, you know, sort of the people plan. But it just really depends.
That's great.
For the franchisees, because you just mentioned the macro, they're doing other things. Like, you know, do you recommend that they hire someone with food experience or hire a GM? Are the franchisees, you know, basically the manager themselves?
No, the franchisees tend to be the for lack of a better term, the area support.
Right.
Rep. So depending if it's a firkin, we actually want someone with pub experience. We don't want a firkin pub being run like a casual dining restaurant. Like, we run firkin pubs with 50% alcohol, and you just can't hire a fast food person who's going to get that. You need to hire someone not even just with full service, but actually pub experience. So
right.
We want them to get the people with the exact experience that it takes to run their business properly. And then, and that's really the franchisee's role, is to make sure that all the right people are in all the right places. And we have very good descriptions for every, you know, whether it's Z Pizza or whether any of the brands, have a very good idea of exactly what kind of person you need for each level. So they're, you know, that's sort of a macro level role for the franchisees, to make sure that they've got all the right people in all the right places.
And, you know, that's what's so special about franchising, Dan. Someone always had the dream of opening a pub, and someone doesn't have any experience. But here, look, you have this great pub concept, Firkin Pubs, and, you know, you put people through training, and there's ongoing support, and they can be owning a pub without really, yeah, of course they have to get their hands dirty, but they're going to have, you know, employees to do that for them so they can be, you know, growing and expanding and someday opening a few locations. It's just, you know, it's just great to have a company like yours that can really you know, put someone in business like that.
Yeah, and because we've, you know, because there's 40, I think almost 50 Firkin pubs now. I mean, there's plenty of education we can give a franchisee with no experience to make sure that even though he's got an experienced manager in running the day-to-day operations, there's so many tools and reports and kind of checks and balances to make sure that that business is really running as efficiently as it can, and that nothing's being done that shouldn't be done. So we have a lot of support for franchisees to build multiple units, and that's one of the critical elements, is to make sure that, you know, we make it easy for them to run each unit.
Right.
What role has technology played in the restaurant industry, Dan? I recall reading a great article with you. It's this handheld device. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things happening in the restaurant industry with technology. What role does it play?
Well, it touches everything. It teaches customers are more educated about options because of technology. They're more educated about you know, where to go and kind of what the expectations are for their visit.
Right.
We have like Vapiano is a great concept that has a chip card. So when you're a customer, you walk into Vapiano and you get a chip card, and as you walk to the pizza station or the pasta station or the bar, you could go as fast as you want, or you could stay there for 3 or 4 hours. Every time you go up and order something, you just kind of swipe your chip card and you pay on your way out.
That's amazing.
And that's just something that 5 or 6 years ago you couldn't even think about doing something like that. The evolution of that is eventually just like the Starbucks card, where you get your,
right.
You know, what's so funny about the Starbucks card is you're essentially prepaying now for coffee you're going to be drinking for the next month.
Exactly.
And the same thing is going to happen with Vapiano, is you're going to go in and you're going to create, you know, you'll have a card, you'll load it up on the beginning, and then customers just come in and swipe as they go, and then swipe on their way out, and they're gone. It's no hassle, no fuss.
That's great.
Wow.
Amazing, the technology, yeah.
And technology makes it easier to measure everything. It's so important now to measure unit economics, like same-store sales. We use, you know, we break apart product mix. We break apart day-part sales, labor for each of those shifts. And, you know, and then you want the technology, so that pushes that technology down to unit-level employees to make it easier to manage. And it's just, again, 5, 10 years ago, you couldn't have it. Now there's just tremendous opportunities with technology.
That's great, yeah.
Staying with technology, Marty, remember we had interviewed the company that specialized in their surveillance cameras and system, and
they represented
McDonald's, Subway, and all that. You know, what does your company do, Dan, about that, which is so important in this type of business where there's theft and, you know, other things that can go on?
Well, every one of our concepts has security systems and cameras. What technology has really evolved to is now you can actually look at your restaurant on your handheld device.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have all of our brands have always used security systems and surveillance and all that, but now, you know, you could literally be in another state and dial into one of your restaurants and see what's going on.
It's incredible.
It's pretty fascinating.
It sure
right.
is.
What advice, Dan, would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? I mean, you have so much experience through FranSmart and previous. What's some advice that you would give?
Well, I would encourage a franchisee. I mean, I'm the one selling franchises, so I kind of know more than I probably should. I would encourage franchisees to talk to prospective franchisees to talk to existing franchisees, because
right.
no one's really going to give them the clear scoop. You know, the franchisor or sales rep or whatever is going to kind of have their pitch. But the best way of doing it is to go and find a franchisee of the brand and really kind of get in their heads and find out, is this everything you thought it was going to be? Do the franchisors do what they say they're going to do? Would you, you know, if you had to do it all over again, would you do it again? And, you know, I guess the most telltale sign of all is, you know, are you going to keep building more units? And if the answer is no, run for the hills.
Right.
Right, right.
Is there a certain time frame you want a prospect or a potential franchisee to do his due diligence, a certain period? You don't want someone to review the UFOC, to make a couple calls, and a few weeks later, okay, let's get going. Where do I sign? You know, who do I make the check out to? You know, what do you, or how do you handle that type of situation?
We usually see, I mean, typical for us is about 90 days. So from the time that someone really gets engaged talking about a brand, they got to come out and see the concept. The franchisor's got to like them as much as they've got to like the franchisor, and that's a certain dance that just takes amount of time. And now, again, with technology, you could look at blogs, and you can look at, I mean, there's just so many things on the Internet that'll give you insight into how that brand really functions in different markets. Talk to the franchisees, but, yeah, I mean, sort of 90 days is a pretty typical time, and it should be more than enough time to do your homework.
Right. Right. You know, you brought up a good, interesting point, Dan, in that it's really a two-way street. It's just not the franchisee choosing you guys and, okay, I'll be accepted. I mean, you have to make sure that you're comfortable with that person. You feel they're going to be successful. You know, our company, you know, we exhibit at some of the franchise trade shows. I believe you guys are going to be down at the IFE in Washington, D.C. in April.
Yeah.
And we like to talk about the shows a little bit. I guess... you're more impressed with a potential franchisee when they come up and they're familiar with some of your concepts and they kind of have their own game plan, know their credit, are real knowledgeable. Isn't that someone that you really are impressed with right away?
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, someone who knows FranSmart, the history, you know, some of the products, they're asking questions. So I think you and I talked about that, Marty, a little bit. People going to the trade shows, you know, come prepared,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But you'll see a lot of people at those trade shows who basically walk in without doing any research and make a decision about buying just by walking up and down the aisles.
I agree.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest challenges for restaurant franchisees, I guess, in today's world, Dan? You kind of mentioned location is, I guess, a big one. Cost might be another.
Yeah, I think location, getting capital, you know, getting access to capital for growth. The important one is always hiring all the right people in the right positions.
Sure.
If you don't have the right people, you're never going to execute properly. So.
Absolutely. And what are FranSmart's plans for the future, Dan? I mean, how big would you guys like to get? How many franchises would you like to have, like, in your portfolio?
We're expanding our practice now. We have about 10 brands in our portfolio in the U.S., and
right.
we'll expand that to about 20. We don't want to be a Walmart of franchising. We just want
right.
to have a good portfolio, but we're also expanding into the Middle East and into Europe and into Asia. We're doing a lot down in Mexico now. We've already been in Canada for the last 5 years, and so for us, it's just about expanding our portfolio and our practice just all over the world.
Right, right. So you have a pretty big job, Dan. You're kind of all over the place now, I guess.
I love it.
That's
don't
great.
Plan on getting much sleep over the next decade.
Exactly.
Sounds like that.
And I've got an 18-month-old, so I don't get much
sleep.
Anyway. Wow.
Congratulations. That was fantastic.
That's right between Marty's. I have twins a couple years old, three, and you know Marty just had a newborn
son.
Yeah, I
have a four-month-old myself.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks. What's the best way for someone to get more information on FranSmart, Dan?
Just go to the website, FranSmart.com.
Okay, easy enough.
Yeah, all of our brands are on there. The histories, you know, Google FranSmart, Google the brands in our portfolio, or just pick up the phone and give me a call. Happy to talk to anybody.
Yeah, it's a great website.
It really is. It's a very informative website. There's a lot of great articles on there and things like that. So,
Thank you.
And we've been watching you guys for a while, Dan, so we're very impressed with FranSmart. And we're going to have you back on the show in the future. Just
good.
Continue to watch you guys grow.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
every 1,000 units, Dan, we'll have you back on.
There you go.
Well, that's every couple months now. So.
That's something. That's fantastic.
All right,
well, thanks again, Dan. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Take care, Dan. Bye-bye.
Great concept, huh, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very impressed with, you often wonder, how do they pick, these different concepts?
Right, absolutely. I didn't know that, how they look for, restaurants or franchises, that will hit that, 1,000 unit mark. As you said, they're not really looking for like niche-oriented kind of franchises,
That's
so,
why I asked that question.
It was a good question, yeah, absolutely.
I guess they go on instinct and they have studies that are done outside companies, and it's, a nice goal to have each concept, each franchise up to 1,000 units, and they have all kinds of international growth plans and
it's amazing,
yeah.
No, I mean, these guys are going to be really big, So, I'm looking forward to watching them, and I'm glad we finally had Dan on the show, because I think we've mentioned them, we've referenced them.
Right.
Through the 60 shows that we've done at this point, I recall mentioning Dan's name on several occasions, whether it's articles or, whatever it may be. So,
I'm on their website right now with Lunch Around the Corner. I wish I could just go to one of these concepts and just click one and have the meal right in front of me.
There you go.
Look at all this nice stuff they have.
Well, it's the whole thing with technology, too, which is I'm glad we got to cover that with them. If your family, you go to, let's say, a Houlihan's on the weekend, typically in your area, I know like in Colts Neck, you get a pretty big crowd down there, and they'll give you one of those devices that'll let you know that your seat is now available.
Right.
I understand now that there's some devices that'll actually call you on your cell phone, letting
right.
you know that, your seat is now available. I mean, it's amazing how they're even using cell phone technology in the restaurant industry. So,
right.
And I'm always fascinated by the technology, it's
right.
it's a, it's a billion-dollar industry, I suspect, when we're talking about restaurants, And I was glad you mentioned DTT, the whole surveillance thing, I mean,
right.
There's a lot of cost involved in this whole thing, and I think with the restaurant industry, you really do have to stay on top of the technology as well, So I think that's fantastic. So it's a constant learning.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess getting back to technology, I guess you really have to stay on top of that because you got to, to be competitive, stay in business, you got to make sure you're on top of every little thing.
Absolutely.
Every possible tool.
Sure, absolutely.
To help out your restaurant. I mean, it's just incredible how many number of food concepts there are throughout the country.
So competitive, And, a lot of these things, are certainly worth the investment, that's for sure, I mean,
right.
And I like how he said, too, that, he's willing to pay more or emphasize, to pay more for a top location.
Right.
It's just so important in this kind of business, and he was actually quoted in an article saying that you don't have to do as much marketing if you have a great location. It makes a lot of
right.
sense, doesn't it? I mean,
right.
You and I both know about marketing and advertising and things like that, and it can be very, very costly. But if you have a great location, you kind of get away from that,
right.
Stuff that could be a pain in the neck, and it's a lot of work. To get new business, to send out coupons and do newspaper advertising and television and et cetera, so.
Yeah, I'm definitely one that would rather pay a little more to have that top location.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great show. And
yeah, I'm happy to have FranSmart as and Dan on. It was
absolutely
certainly a nice show.
Absolutely. So again, Don, I know you're off to Florida this weekend,
yeah.
So you'll probably come back with a tan, and if you have a chance to get outdoors anyway.
Yeah.
But again, we'll have our next show on the 21st, and Then we have Mr. Gerber coming out probably towards the end of the month, actually. You know, so we have some exciting things going on as well. So
definitely.
But good job today, Don. And again, go to franchiseinterviews.com. And what else? We got gofranchise.com and franchisefunding.net and all these great websites. And again, I think this is probably about our 60th show on Franchise Interviews, Don. So congratulations on that. That's a
same to you.
Lot of recording time, you know. And again, I believe we have one of the best sources of information on franchising out there. So.
And you know, definitely, you know, remind people to go back and listen to some past shows. Just so much information.
Exactly, you could spend several days. It's almost 3 days up to this point. You know, just listening to interviews. You know, with people like Dan and Michael Gerber and George Natiff, and the list just goes on and on and on.
All the great concepts and experts and authors and
exactly. And every show, I think you and I have learned something. You know, I mean, you know, same with this show. You know, we've learned several things. You know, and you and I have been doing this for quite some time now. So, which makes us probably one of the most knowledgeable people on the planet on franchising. So,
I like that, on the planet.
There you go. All right, Don. Well, you have a great trip, and I'll be talking to you in a couple weeks.
Okay, excellent, Marty.
Thanks, Don.
Day.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.